You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
February 26th of 2025. Another mild start in downtown Wausau. At the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, our 98.9 WXCO studios, overcast skies and 34 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up this morning in the second hour of the show, we will be joined by Grand Theater Executive Director Sean Wright, find out what's going on at the Grand. And then also coming up in the second hour of the show at 9:34, we'll be talking to four Wausau West wrestlers. Four Wausau West wrestlers, one boy and three girls, who have earned spots at the WIAA Individual State Wrestling Meet, which will get underway tomorrow at the Kohl's Center in Madison. Just a massive event, activity going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we'll talk to those young people who have accomplished a lot so far and looking to accomplish a little more. And also talk about one of the fastest growing sports right now in Wisconsin, and that's girls wrestling. And three of those Warrior girls making it all the way to the state tournament. So that's coming up in hour number two of the program. But here in hour number one, as we do every other Wednesday, very happy to look across the table and see Mr. Bob. Look, Bob, good to see you again.
Good to see you here as we continue on with the Chad Holmes Radiothon. Please call in your donation right now.
It's a reset. It's like, it's kind of odd because you do the 2 hours and you wrap it up, and then 6 minutes later you're back on saying we're starting all over again.
We're doing shows for all the time zones in the country here.
Actually today, Wednesday, and I got another show later tonight, yeah. The big high school sports show. So why bother going off? I should just stay on.
Should have this little cot back here.
There you go. But I tell you, and you know this as well, you've covered high school sports for such a long time. Such a fun time of the year. You get through the winter sports season, you get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden you get to these arenas like Marathon Park last night, where it's packed to the gills, and you have the intensity, the excitement. I mean, kind of why we do it. I mean, it really is. It's so much fun. And I tell you, last night was such a thrilling game. I knew I had to wake up early, but I couldn't fall asleep last night. Yeah. And then I get home and I see on social media, well, there's this girls' hockey playoff game into the fourth overtime, so I got to turn that on, and it goes into the fifth overtime, and then finally that one comes to an end, and then I'm still trying to fall asleep, and I can't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. In fact, all the years that I did high school games, and again, you're going to have those games that are blowouts,
right,
that happens, and those are pretty easy to get over. You pack up your stuff and, you know, head on home, and you hit the pillow, and bang, you're out. But when you have those overtime games or really close, hard-fought games, it's one of those things that, like you said, you stare at the ceiling for about an hour or two before you blank out. And if you're doing that morning show like you were doing today, you got to get up it just because you start at 6 doesn't mean you get up at 5:55.
When that alarm went off this morning, you think, oh man.
Yeah, it's you know, that brought me to point out, if I want to encourage people to check this out on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, because recently we had the 45th anniversary of the United States hockey team winning the gold medal, and of course they're more focusing on the Saturday where they beat the Soviets in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And Doc Emmerich, Mike Emmerich, who long time doing hockey play-by-play on radio and television for years, and he had a little feature about that. Everyone talks about the L. Michaels and the TV, you know, coverage of the Soviet thing. Well, that was a delayed, tape-delayed broadcast. There was only one live actual coverage of the game, and that was done by a little local radio station in Lake Placid, in the Saranac Lakes, I believe, was where it was right adjacent to Lake Placid. Lake Placid is a little village of 2,300 people back then, and not that many more today, okay? Right. And so here's this little 1,000-watt AM station, WBCZ, okay, in that part of the world. And of course, it's 1,000 watts at daytime. At nighttime, it goes to 250 watts, just like WXCO, 1230 AM.
I'm going to say that, yep.
Where suddenly, you know, where you could be listening to it, and all of a sudden it's sundown, and you can't hear the station.
When I lived in Rothschild, I lost it on my way home.
Right, right. I bet I couldn't even listen to, you know, the station that they were working for. Well, to be that as it may, and he does this about the two guys where this local radio station contacted the International Olympic Committee, you know, for rights, and they thought, oh, isn't that cute? They were going to have a local station called covering all the Olympic events. Okay, well, you know, they didn't even charge them.
That would never happen today.
Never. Never you'd ever have an opportunity to get something for free. But they thought, oh, that's kind of cute. And so the only live broadcast was on a little 250-watt local radio station that's serving its community of probably the most talked about game and result in all of the 20th century. It's an amazing little thing. Look that up in YouTube and just, you know, call it the local radio broadcast of the event.
And it's actually the broadcast itself is on there?
It's not the whole broadcast. Oh. It's just it's a little feature because they just had little bits and pieces. And they had the goal calls from the guy. And he did a really good job.
I'm sure he did.
And they were really into it. Like, you know, you could hear the crowd and it just takes you right back to those incredibly sports, what sports can do for you when you happen to tie into one of those great games.
And to be honest with you, I have a few goosebumps right now because I remember that day. Mm-hmm. Because my late father.
Yeah.
And we were having dinner and we were waiting for the game to come on. And
which, again, it was a delayed broadcast, right?
But he actually had known who won the game, but he didn't tell me. Uh-huh. And he says, well, you want to make a bet on the game? And I said, well, who are you going to take? And me being, you know, 9 years old at the time, I said, well, I can't bet against the Americans. I got to bet on the Americans. So I said, okay, you will get the Americans. And then you watch the game. And then, you know, it's like you see it's happening and happening and happening, and it's, and then Mark Johnson, you know, as big hero for the Americans.
As silly as, you know, as that is, I was doing a high school basketball game. Port Washington High School was hosting Brookfield Central for basketball, and I knew that the game, you know, the hockey game was being played late afternoon, early evening our time. So I figured I was going to get some. So I had the board operator back there keeping an eye on the UPI.
Yeah.
Machine typing out, you know, news bulletins and stories and stuff. So he's keeping tabs on this. So we get to halftime, and so I'm calling back to you got a final. And so he, you know, on the little remote hookup where we had, he went, Russia 3, and I go, he said it first, and USA 4. Oh, man. I go, what? Repeat that. Yeah. Because normally you give the team that wins
right,
the higher
number. You're thinking
number.
He somehow screwed it up, the yeah. reporting.
Look, one more time. And he USA won. So I get up and I go run it over to the scorer's table right. where the PA announcer is. And he says, I got something, some news for you. This is fresh, you know, as fresh as you can get. The USA Olympic team defeated the Soviets 4-3. Are you sure about that? I just got it from the yeah. So they made this announcement in this basketball gymnasium. And the pace erupted. Yeah. It was like, whoa, party time.
You know, and when you think back to that time, the country needed that. It was a correct. Tough time, and it was the perfect balm to what was going on.
It was everything was kind of, you know, man, we're talking about gas prices that were just exploding at the time because of the oil cartels.
If you could get the gas.
Yeah. you, with the lines that would be 3, 4, 5 blocks or longer, you know, just to get in line to get some gas for your car.
Right.
But, I remember that so vividly. Oh. Here's this high school basketball.
They hear that Washington. Cheer. I bet you can probably still hear that cheer.
Oh, it's just like yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's 40. Well,
and by the way, a couple days ago, I saw on social media Mark Johnson, of course, the hero.
Oh, yeah.
He paid a visit to one of the area high school teams before their playoff opener, Verona. And there was a picture of Mark Johnson in the locker room because he came and talked to them. What a great man. And I know that you know him very well.
Yeah, I've gotten to know him over the years. Well, he was an assistant coach under Jeff Sauer for a while at Wisconsin. And so I've known him, you know, since, you know, about 2000. I believe it might have been 2000 or 2001, somewhere in there when he started working always a great, and I still like to tell that story when I was in his office. This is a few years, you know, into it, getting to know him. So I had to kill some time. So I'm just sitting there in his little, you know, desk. And he didn't really have an office. It was just like a shared office. So I asked him, hey, Mark, I was just kind of curious, you know, do you have kind of like a little display or something, you know, to show off your gold medal, you know, of what you won, you know, back in 1980? And he goes, oh, no, it's right here. And the right drawer, the third, you know, and he pulls it and he's holding it and he's going to hand it to me for me to, you know, touch it. And I go, I reared back and I didn't even want to touch him. And he started laughing at me. I says, Mark, you don't know what this means.
You talk about great Wisconsinites. Bob Johnson and Mark Johnson are two of the best.
Yeah, well.
I mean, fantastic.
Anyway.
And wonderful. I love the picture of seeing him with those high school kids and sharing his experiences and talking about hockey and everything else. That's just wonderful.
Hey. Why is it in his desk? Because his daughter had a show and tell at school, and so he gives the medal to his daughter to show and tell in grade school.
That's Bob Amazing. Look. I'm Chad Holmes. We will properly introduce Ian Welsh in a moment, but coming up, we will have our weather update with Brittany Rouleau. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, forgot to mention that if you'd like to be part of the show, we'd love to have you. You can give us a call or send us a text at 715-382-9222. 715-382-9297. Again, that's 715-382-9297. And of course, you can always go to the Civic Media app, open up the 98.9 WXCO part of the app, hit the button to call, hit the button to text. And in fact, we would love you to call, because then you get a chance to talk to the one and the only Ian Welsh. And we did not properly give an introduction to Ian to start off the show, and it always makes me nervous, because he is the guy with the buttons.
Yeah.
He can take us off the air.
He can turn us off just like that.
But Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
And,
good morning, Bob.
Ian's too nice of a guy.
I know. But we appreciate what Ian does here. And we'll have more with Ian. Of course, he is 1-for-2 this week on his number for the day quiz. Got back on the winning track yesterday. But it always makes for a better day when Ian wraps it up with a correct answer on our number
for
the day.
I'll have to check my Harrow's and Tahoe.
By the way,
betting on that.
But real quickly, the last time you were in, Ian gave some credit to you because you did send positive reinforcement down the line, and he got it right.
Oh, yeah.
He said so. He said
that was
so.
The day I got it right. So thank you, Bob, for that.
Well, when you've been around as long as I have, you know how to guess a little better.
There
maybe
you go.
That's it.
Hey, we'll talk more with Ian coming up in a few minutes, but first, waiting patiently, as she always does, is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Doing very well, and feels like we were just doing this a little while ago during my guest stint on
the Chad Holmes Radiothon, is what we're calling it.
North News Radio. But the thing about it, when I came in really early this morning, I nearly took a tumble just walking across the street.
Yes. I was just out, you know, coming into the studios, and it is like it's an ice rink in certain areas, so when you think it's just wet, it's just not.
I was telling Brittany the same thing. I almost slipped on. Just I was getting out of my car here.
Yep.
And Brittany, you actually mentioned that the last couple of days, that was expected to be that temperature around where we are, around freezing, that leads to a lot of slick spots.
Yes, it's really dangerous this time of year. I mean, if you slip and fall, you can really, really hurt yourself. I mean, you don't want to do that. So this is the time when you're in the early morning or late night and those temperatures are getting cold. We're pushing that freezing mark. The freezing mark is 32 degrees, just in case you're not aware. When we're around those low 30s or upper 20s, anything that's shiny, that looks wet, it is ice. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful.
Assume
watch your step.
Ice.
Widen your stance, walk like a penguin, hold on to things. I don't care how stupid you look this time of year, just be safe. That is the most important thing. I'm telling you, it happens so fast. You think as an adult, I'm fine. I'm not going to slip and fall. I'll catch myself. No, you can. And I've done it. I broke my tailbone, and that thing lingers. And that was a good injury compared to what could have happened.
I know you are much younger than we are here, but I have the similar situation now in the shower. Oh, man, I tell you, you think, there's no way you're going to. I have had so many close calls recently in the shower. It is amazing. It reminds me of the ice outside. You're exactly right, but mud. Lots of mud out there. We've had lots of warm temperatures this week. And boy, I mean, it's been nice walking out with feeling the sun. The combination of warm weather and the sun has been really beautiful. But man, it's kind of sloppy out there as well now because of all the melting snow.
It's so true. I didn't know what kind of shoes to wear. I was like, all right, where are the mud boots? Where are my rain boots? Because this is nasty. Everywhere you step, you're stepping in a pile of mud, or it's ice in the evening. And like you said, the snow just left us within 24 to 48 hours. Those 10 inches that we had on the ground, gone. So some farm fields are flooding. Some local low-lying areas are still starting to flood as well. And then the rivers. So if you think about it, all this water went into the ground. There's still a frost line. It's still frozen down there. And so it can't go all the way into the ground where it should. And it's piling up, pooling up in certain areas. And then it's also making its way slowly to the river basin. It'll all eventually go there. This is going to rise the river. It's going to swell it up a little bit, break that ice. The ice is going to start going downstream and it gets caught in little areas. And we could see some ice jams, some flooding possible from that. And then obviously if you're ice fishing, I'd be worried, especially starting tomorrow, because those winds are going to get breezy. So not only is the ice weakening and shifting, but those winds are going to start to really move it around. And that's when things get scary and ice rescues are needed. And it's a messy season. Spring is messy for outdoors.
And it looks as though that the warmer temperatures are going to stick around for at least a few more days.
Oh, they're going to be here for a while. I mean, we're going to continue this week into the low 40s. Today we'll hit highs in the mid 40s. Tomorrow will be kind of like upper 30s, low 40s. And Friday will be into the mid 40s. We cooled down over the weekend. Saturday's highs will be mid 20s. Then we stay at the low 30s on Sunday. But as we go into next week, we're looking at 40s and 50s again.
Spring will have arrived. And something we always talk about, because coming up here in the next couple of days, March the 1st, and you and I, we don't say it's March 21st that spring starts. Actually, you and I, we say it's March the 1st, right?
It is. So we're just, what, 3 days, 2 days away from the start of spring?
Yay! And again, for folks who are saying, what are they talking about? Why do you think March 1st is kind of the start of spring?
All right. So March 1st is the meteorological start of spring. We kind of go in 3 month, sessions, I guess. So March, April, and May will be spring. June, July, and August is, of course, summer. And we go by that for climate records and data and all of that. So it makes more sense, because when we're changing it by the equinox, it's not really lining up very well.
Exactly. So
see how we got that all organized like that?
There you go. So much.
Yeah. And it's meteorologists that do that for us.
And I always not sure if it's the 21st or the 22nd or whatever. It's nice and easy when you say it's the 1st.
Yeah. Exactly. March is spring. Come on.
There you go. Hey, Brittany, thanks again for the information. Make sure you get the right shoes or boots on. More mud coming. But enjoy your Wednesday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
You too. Bye.
That is our Brittany Merlot, joins us every weekday morning at 8:21 here on the program on 98.9 WXCO. Real quickly, right now in downtown Wausau, overcast skies, 34 degrees, no wind, so no wind chill as well. Dew point of 31, relative humidity of 89%, barometer at 29.80 inches, and a visibility of 7 miles. We have an information update coming up, and then back with more with Bob Look coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
Life is so strange when you don't know. How can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change, and then you won't know.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, join us. Call or text 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Joined in hour number one by Bob Look, as he does every other Wednesday. In fact, Bob, during the earlier show, in the first hour, I told the story that you told on this program when you had Ron Johnson on your show, and how he tried to get off
on a phone interview.
And I was bringing it up because this week we hear that the president and his press secretary have decided that they're not going to just take questions. They're going to only take questions from certain individuals, that they're going to basically cue it. And I thought, that's Ron Johnson, because that was such a funny story that, you know, you went off script and all of a sudden Ron is saying, Bob, I think again, that we're
going to... Again, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
And you said...
I hear you perfectly, Senator. I know. Keep going.
But the idea within our system of government, because whether or not it's a local official, whether or not it's a state official, whether that's the president of the United States, the idea is that you are a representative of the people, and part of the process is the media is supposed to be a voice for the people asking some of these questions. Mm-hmm. And it's just another step, another crack in what our system needs to be.
Well, you know, when they call them representatives, you should be a representative whether you have the people who are on your side or not. The point being is that you represent all the people in the district. I mean, Tom Tiffany, when was the last time he's had a public forum? If there is a public forum, it's one of these things that suddenly becomes available. It's like 4 p.m, and then says, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Congressman Tiffany will meet people at such as, and there'll be a remote area, and there'll be like a dozen of his biggest supporters. You're doing a great job. Well, you know, quit being a weasel, Congressman Tiffany. Just Tom the Weasel Tiffany always sounds just right. Because if you don't sit there and want to stand up for, you know, what you say you believe in, then why are you there?
By the way, really good point here, because, you know, coming out and speaking, having meetings with your constituents, well, some held town halls in the last week or two, and they got some pushback on a lot of what's going on in Washington. Well, just last evening, NBCNews.com put out a story that says House Republicans are putting the brakes on town halls blowback over the Trump administration cuts. One GOP aide said House Republican leaders, again, this is the part that really annoys me, House Republican leaders are urging lawmakers to stop engaging in them altogether. I mean, have some guts. Because, in fact, you know, real fast, I think sometimes when you face tough questions and some anger, how you handle it, you can turn it on its head and make you even more popular with your constituents if you're willing to go up there
to
and
face
answer
up the tough questions.
Right, and answer them in a truthful way and in a way that people can understand. Because I think that Americans are very fair. They aren't going there just to rattle and to pound on them, but they want to hear answers. And the idea that the leadership...
Again, remember who pays their salary to represent the district. It's the taxpayers. Now, again, you know, whether you support the person who is representing you or not, that's still your representative. And your representative should be, you know, at least responding to your concerns. That's why they have staffs. They, you know, what's even worse is that the staff members are to the point where suddenly there's nobody in the office. They just take voice messages, voicemail or what have you, and you get a response back. There have been several times where I have sent email, you know, questions.
Right.
You know, not you know, going, hey, jerk, you know,
right.
It was like, you know, why, what, please explain to me your decision to vote for or against this particular bill. That's all I wanted their side of the story.
Sure.
And tumbleweed comes across, you know, my house, you know, and you hear the crickets, you know, they don't represent. You know what I'd like to see, you know, with the actual media asking questions and not suddenly running off and hiding in the corner would be the South African Nazi, Elon Musk. Okay, listen, clown. First of all, you're not, you know, from this country. You're from another country, which is not, makes them, you know, less, you know, important.
But the hypocrisy of it is
where he's telling how we're supposed to run our government. With the passage of that budget bill last night, when you talk about, you know, billions of dollars, and they, when they put together this DOGE, I don't know if it's Doge or Doogie or whatever the heck you want to call it. The point being is that, okay, yeah, we always like to find, you know, fraud and abuse and, you know, waste. I understand that. But then when they arbitrarily just throw a number on something, we've just eliminated $166 billion in loss over this. And then all of a sudden the media and that checks the actual number, it's more like 1.6 million. Instead of 166 billion. See, sometimes people hear the word million, and to them, it sounds like a lot of money. $1 million in the, you know, in the consideration of a complete budget, it's like a grain of sand on a beach.
Do you remember a long time ago when Dave Obey got into a little trouble because it was like a very small amount, and he kind of threw it off, and everyone outraged. Oh, how can you be? But in the big picture, it was basically a very small number. But but you're right, because there was one of the savings that they were touting, $8 billion. It was a misprint. It was $8
million. $8 million. and billion and million, that's about as you know, Wittenberg to New York City, as far as the sizes.
And again, what they're doing, Mike Johnson is trying to pull a fast one on us. And when it comes to, again, the entitlements and the way that they keep on. They refuse to actually engage in the ideas.
They don't want to argue that point because...
Because they know it's unpopular.
It's not only unpopular, but it's inhumane.
It's wrong.
It's just plain wrong. This is, you know, they always talk about Social Security being an entitlement. BS. That we paid into that, whether it's, you know, righteous or according to bean counters that it's wrong. Well, hey, bean counters, you didn't pay, you know, into it as soon as I started working as a kid, I've been paying into this.
And all they do is there's so much fraud involved in it. There's so much fraud involved.
And then they start looking at it, and it's not.
No, there isn't. And I saw somebody who responded said, my father passed away within a week. They were all over us to make sure that there were no more checks coming in. I mean, there was like a check that was sent right maybe the day after, and they said, no, you cannot. That has to be sent back. It's like, I don't believe for a second it's the same lies, and I'm going to use that term, lies, that they have about election security. Well, because all they do is keep saying it, and we keep waiting for the evidence that never comes.
I always like to, you know, I've told this story before when my wife died. And on March 22nd, and then all of a sudden, the insurance that it was under was gone at the end of that month. It was like a blink of an eye. And the fact that she was at the age where she could get some, that suddenly went gone. But then I got, you know, the spouse, which was a fraction of what's there. So, you know, when they started saying stuff to me like, you know, it's getting away with it. No, it's not.
And by the way, the top five
things that the Doge you know, website listed as the five biggest, you know, money losers for this government, now they had to pull it off their deal because they're all
lies.
Overinflated.
Lies. They're lies.
It's like Donald Trump putting a price tag on property he owns.
And by the way,
truth.
Donald Trump said many times, well, America was never richer than from the era from 1890 to 1930. And anybody that, and that's one reason why I'm so concerned about this war on history that the MAGA Republicans have put out. There were seniors who lived in poverty at an incredibly high rate. There were no rules when it came to food and employment for kids and all this stuff. And Donald Trump gets up there all the time and starts talking about how this was a golden age for America. This was pre-Social Security. If you take away Social Security and you take away, and Elon Musk has said he thinks all regulations should go away, and then if we find that we need it, then we can add it back in again. But if you look back in that era, there was so much suffering, much pain.
My parents lived through that. I mean, they were born in 1919, 1920, okay? So they were like 10 years old by the time it was 1930. They were right in the smack dab in the middle of that. The stories that I, you know, that my mother used to, would always share stories. She had, you know, five siblings there. And what it was like to just, you know, just try to survive. And I remember we had a kind of a family gathering at a big restaurant, family served deal. And here's all my aunts and that who grew up during the Depression. Well, they had the basket of little dinner rolls. Suddenly out come their purses and comes, you know, taking a little napkin. And they're putting the little, you know, dinner, you know, deals in their purse. And I, you know, saw that, and then I kind of brought, and I was a kid at the time, and I asked my mother, I said, well, why are you, well, we were taught when we were young, we never threw away anything, because that was probably your next three or four meals was what you were able to hang on to from, I mean, see, the problem is a lot of people are, it's so far in the rearview mirror right now that people don't understand the desperation involved.
You read the stories.
Excuse me, guys, if I could jump in here. Yeah. So we actually have a phone call. Oh. Someone would like to talk to you about your point you made with a social security. She's actually on the line now. Go ahead.
Well, first Nancy of all, what? Stencil, Nancy. Good to always talk to Nancy. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Well, Well, I was listening to your program. Great program this morning. Excellent. And I just wanted to feed off what you guys were saying as far as a Social Security check when somebody dies. My mother had warned me before she passed away when I was paying her bills. She said, when I die, if a Social Security check comes in, she said, just leave it alone. They'll take it right back out. And by God, they did in less than a week. I mean, it's like it went in and it went right back out again.
And so, you know, yeah,
the fraud is not there.
Oh, and it's lies. It's the same thing as when they talk about election security. Give us the evidence, please. I mean,
just state the facts.
Give us the true numbers and not an estimate in your mind.
And the idea, and Nancy, continue.
Oh, I was going to say, we'll save it for another day, but I have to tell you about my Tom Tiffany visit. but I'm heading out to put up big signs with our sign crew, so I'll see you guys. Great show.
Watch the ice. Take care.
Thank you for calling, Nancy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. And again, it just feels as though a lot of folks don't put A, B, and C together. I just don't understand this idea of this worship for these super rich individuals. From people who, if they walked to Mar-a-Lago and knocked on the door, it would be like Mr. Bernstein, send out the hounds.
Well, you know, as I mentioned before on this show, we are into right now, up into our necks in the age of ignorance. And I've coined that as, you know, basically describing how things are going right now, where ignorance is being celebrated while expertise is being ignored.
And they're trying their best to kill off education so we stay in this perpetual state of ignorance.
Let's keep people as dumb as possible because we can pull the rug over their eyes a lot easier.
Oh, you're talking about people of skill. There are none of those in the Trump administration. Wow. I mean, you talk about a band of clowns. That's exactly what they are. 8:49 is the time. We're going to take a quick time out and come right back.
Should we be a little nicer next week?
I don't know. That's a good question. We're going to think about that.
I'm kind of warmed up
right
now.
I kind of like it myself. We'll be right back with Bob Look here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I'm gonna make sure, folks, you tune in tomorrow, because we will have Judge Susan Crawford as a guest.
Oh, very good.
Because you were just talking about that race. Yeah. And I think she's actually paying a visit to Wausau tomorrow, and she'll be joining me here on the program at 9:20 tomorrow morning. And obviously, we're coming up quickly on that election.
April 1st.
Would you like to share your story or wait for another time?
Let's wait for the next.
Okay, because we got some time here before you down then. because I know that we're getting towards the end of another Badger hockey season. Yeah. Running down the number of home games. Are you done with the home games now?
We got an exhibition game coming up Sunday against the Team USA under 18 team, national team. And if you want to go to the game on, it's a 6 p.m. start Sunday, $10 to get in the door, and you're going to see future Olympians, future mm-hmm. professionals. These are the top 18 and under, 17-year-old players in this country. They are, you know, they're headquartered out of Michigan, and they are, it's, it, They will probably beat the Badger.
They're great.
Because they're good.
Yes, they
These are the top of the
These
line.
These are drafted players, and you're exactly right.
Caulfield played.
Brady Cleveland from West played there the last couple of years. And if you haven't seen a game at the Kohl Center, it's so different than on TV. I mean, it really is. Hockey is such a wonderful live experience.
Had a great weekend with the seniors. You know, we had the deal. You know, for recognizing them, we had good crowds, 13,000 both days, Friday and Saturday. And Coach Mike Hastings always says, "There's nothing better than the Kohl Center when it's got a big crowd because it's the best by far atmosphere in college hockey."
What's your feeling now, moving forward?
For what, this season?
Yeah, is he going to be over on the road and make something happen?
Well, the potential's there. And again, a lot of it has to do with goaltending. If you get a hot goaltender, because Wisconsin outshot their opponent this past weekend by a decent margin. It's just that the goaltending was not the best. But I'm not just throwing all the blame that way. The stuff in front of him has to help. It matters, but it's still a great great sport. And I'm finishing up a 27th. Season doing it, and if the Badgers get a little bit of goalie power, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always, some of the greatest memories I have as a kid was still staying up to 10:30 at night and watching Badger hockey on Wisconsin Public Television.
Paul Brown and Bill Howard.
And yet, real fast, I have a wonderful story with Bill Howard. This must have been in the late 90s, I was working in Stevens Point, and one of the kids that worked for me as a board tech and a part-time announcer worked on the student radio station in Stevens Point, and they covered Pointer hockey.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do the final four games over in Plattsburgh, New York. So he said, "Well, would you be able to cover for me? It would be..." And I said, "Sure." And then I found out it's a bus ride to Plattsburgh, New York, both ways. But who was on the bus? Bill Howard. Because his kid played for UWSP at the time.
Yes.
And he was a wonderful guy. And again, when you meet these folks, when they're good guys, it just makes you feel so good.
Bill Howard had the persona on the radio and on the television of being just a grumpy old man, right? And he's far from that. He was a high school coach for many, 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 many years. He knows his hockey, and he was the volunteer goalie coach for the University of Wisconsin. And think of all the players who moved on to the NHL and great things. And this is the guy that a lot of those players point to as the one who taught them to play the position.
It's amazing when you think about some of those goalies back in that era. I mean, Cujo, Curtis Joseph, just the lead. I got a Cujo Wisconsin Badger jersey that's sitting in my closet. That's one. I love it. I love hockey jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
But man, during that era, when one would leave, another one would pop right back following it. And they obviously knew that they were going to get good coaching and have a lot of good times at UW-Madison.
It was like they thought that it was the road to get to the bigs.
Exactly.
To go through Bill. And Bill Howard used to have, hockey summertime clinics teaching these kids. So there's a lot to be said of what he has done.
Absolutely.
But baseball is on the horizon.
I know, huh? How about that? Have you tuned into the Brewers at all?
Oh, yeah, well, it was the first time yesterday to watch, Jackson Churio. and after that, not many other frontline players were playing. But they'll be on Major League Baseball Network today at 2 against the Dodgers. And then the regular Brewer television crew will be covering Thursday's game. So you're going to see a lot more baseball on telly.
By the way, I'm sure you saw those articles about Mark Antanasio. It seems like he's the guy just under the microscope if the Brewers take a dip.
Doesn't it sound familiar?
I know, huh?
To somebody?
I know. So it's like, absolutely. But I like the idea that, hey, if they fall, it's not going to be Pat Murphy's fault or Arnold's fault. Mark Antanasio has decided that he just wants to win 86 games to get in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see what happens as we go. And again, it's a long way to go.
It is.
But it's going to be fun, and March is going to be coming
around. March 27th or something like that, this opening day at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, at Yankee Stadium.
Which will be a lot of fun. So, hey, Bob, thanks again for coming on by.
No problem. I'm going to put on my Bowers and go skate in your parking lot, okay?
That's Bob Luck. Coming up, we'll be joined by Grand Theater Executive Director Sean Wright coming up early in the next hour. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.